Welcome to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by BIC Recruiting, the leader in energy market recruiting.
Hey, I'm Jeremy Osterberger with BIC Alliance and BIC Magazine. Today, I'm joined by Vincent DiCosimo. Vincent is an executive at Targa Resources, and he's been kind enough to share some time with us to give us an update on the midstream industry in the U.S. and on Project 11, which is the Houston Ship Channel Widening Project. So Vincent is also the keynote speaker for the upcoming Economic Alliance Houston Port Region and BIC Alliance Industrial Procurement Forum webinar set for June 4th. Vincent, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. It's absolutely great to be here. Unusual times that we're in today.
Unprecedented, for sure. So, Vincent, let's get right into that. So much has changed in the last 2 months as we navigate the effects of COVID-19 and the demand destruction and subsequent fall in oil prices. Just give us a current state of the U.S. midstream oil and gas industry.
Well, I think overall the midstream business is a healthy industry, clearly impacted by production declines and clearly impacted by world demand declines. But it's an industry, you know, that is the connection between production and demand. And so it stays fairly healthy. A lot of the contractual obligations on both sides, the production side and demand side, are contracts that are usually backed by investment grade companies that have some type of underpinning with take or pay contractual obligations. So as we sit, you know, across the U.S. and into Canada from a midstream perspective, the midstream industry, I think right now, is probably the healthier part of the energy complex, if you will.
So, Vincent, one of the top priorities for industry, especially in the Houston Ship Channel, is widening the channel. Now, can you give us an update on where things stand with the widening of the channel? Again, that's also Project 11 for folks that don't know. And sort of what is Targa's role in those efforts?
Yeah, happy to answer that and excited about what's going on with Port Houston and Project 11. Backing up just a little bit and tell you how Targa's involvement. We are obviously an LPG exporter from the Gulf Coast. And work alongside many of our peer groups and got into a project last year with a coalition to help ensure that we had two-way traffic on the Houston Ship Channel. And as a part of ensuring we had two-way traffic, we've worked alongside Port Houston, Executive Director Roger Gunther, Chairman Rick Campo, to kind of co-develop an advocacy program that ensures that on a federal level and a state level and on a local level that there's loud voices saying, look, the Houston Ship Channel is without a doubt the carotid artery of America. When we have a problem in Houston, America has a problem. And we have the largest petrochemical industrial sector now in the world. We are the largest port in the United States. And I tell that to friends, colleagues, either on the Hill in Washington or in New York, or on some of the boards I sit on, that a couple of our members are from California. They find it difficult to believe that, but the Port of Houston has more volume and tonnage than if you take Long Beach, Los Angeles, New York, New Jersey, and combine them. We are larger than those ports combined. So we're sort of the child that doesn't get a lot of respect sometimes, and we are an incredible part of national security for the United States. We're an incredible part of the economic GDP that drives not only our region, not only the state, but also the United States. So widening and deepening, which is what Project 11 is an extremely important part of continuing the ability for not only the economic drivers right here in Harris County and the surrounding counties in Houston, but it's a big part of ensuring that as we look forward, not just 2 years or 5 years, but the next 20 years, this is a generational thing that we're going to do in terms of widening and deepening the Houston Ship Channel. It allows for continued economic growth. And so working alongside like the Economic Alliance and other associations in Houston, along with our trade organizations. We have locked arms with Port Houston and made our way to Washington on multiple trips to make sure that the widening, which is going to take us out to 700 feet, deepening, which will take us to 45 feet, that we ensure that our elected officials and folks in agencies as well hear the message loud and clear that we have to get appropriations and funding for it. And at the same time, it's a public-private partnership, but there still has to be a process that has to be approved, and we want to be sure that that approval process is taking place. So where we are today is that today we sit where we've now had what's called the Chief's Report that has been completed and signed, and that is the Chief Engineer for the Army Corps of Engineers, which is General Simonet, and he signed that report a couple of weeks ago. That report now gets pushed on through what is called the WARDA process, which is the Waters of America's Resource Development Act. And that is an act which requires appropriations from the House. The House has taken up that act, and they have pushed it over to the Senate, and the Senate now has a draft bill of that. And Port Houston and Project 11 is included in that. And then there's still several steps that have to go through in terms of appropriations. But it is a public-private partnership.
That's right, Vincent. And I know at the during the webinar coming up June 4th, you'll have the opportunity to expand even more upon, you know, what you said in that regard. So thank you for that quick update. Right. So, Vincent, I want to come back to sort of your current responsibilities at Targa. For folks that don't know you, would you give us a little bit about that? And then I want to get into, you know, where do we go from here? So go ahead and tell us a bit about your.
Yeah, well, as you know, the world has changed. My role at Targa has evolved. Previously, I held the position of a senior vice president over what we call petroleum logistics. And Targa did not have anything to do with government affairs. We did not have an office or a position at a corporate level, corporate officer that was involved in working with advocacy groups and working with outside organizations, as well as individually working with inside our internal constituents to look at what's happening in terms of legislation. So I took on a role as head of government affairs. Right now I'm acting in that role as well. And working with state agencies, we operate across the United States and multiple states, so state agencies, as well as federal agencies as well, and you know, rely heavily on internal resources, our legal team as well, to help me and advise me. But it's a new role, an expanded role, which is was timely given the backdrop of COVID-19, working with multiple states and trying to keep up every day with, changes and back to work, back to the office, and as well as how COVID-19 is being handled throughout the United States. Because I can tell you, every state has certainly been different. Every municipality is different. Every role is different that we operate in.
And Vincent, too, your background is comprehensive, and your involvement in as a director of ILTA. Explain a little bit some of the other associations you're involved with too.
I'm fortunate. I've had a great ride and unique background across the board, from gas gathering, processing, crude gathering. I've started five companies, taken some public, and I'm a director with ILTA, of course, which is International Liquids Terminal Association, and I'm also associated with Texas Pipeline Association, act as a director on it, and also with the Greater Houston Port Bureau. I'm the second vice chairman there. And I sit in other boards and committees with AOPL, which is American Oil Pipeline Association, and API as well. So have kind of multiple hats on multiple days.
So, Vincent, so much of our audience are the contractors, and I want to get into, you know, as COVID-19 spread, right, terminals had to minimize contractor access and rely on essential personnel. You know, how are you approaching contractor access here in the coming weeks, and what services are going to be critical, you know, as we sort of allow folks back into the sites?
Absolutely. Well, in many cases, the contractors have been on site. So we've had our contractors continue to work on projects. And as I mentioned, the boards I sit on, we have had many discussions with the CDC, John Wolf, and Homeland Security. In fact, I have upcoming conversations with him this week, where we look at what FEMA, what each of the federal agencies is asking us to do. And I will say that the contractors have been very, very good to work with across the board. All the contractors were all concerned with one thing, and that's safety and human life. And all of our contractors have, if they haven't already initiated the same protocols that we have, and there's something that's a nuance in our protocols, and we ask them to do it, they abide by it instantly and have worked with us. So, that, you know, and it varies on location on what we ask people to do. But generally, if you look at the FEMA and CDC requirements and OSHA requirements, they all basically dovetail together in terms of, you know, PPE, hygiene, you know, in terms of access, social spacing, all of the things that we typically think about the contractors do. And the contractors and their companies themselves are equally concerned, obviously, about their own personnel as they are about ours. So we have rules and regs, they have rules and regs, and typically they have meshed together very well.
And Vincent, if you're a supplier contractor looking to provide services or products to sort of the midstream market, you know, would you give us some insight into how they can succeed in earning approval and the opportunity to earn some work?
Yeah, I think that the main thing is to make sure that you're known to the midstream business before you try to get business from the midstream business. And I think establishing those relationships ahead of time and calling on companies and letting them know who you are and what services that you do have, so when the companies start to look for those services, you're top of mind or at least on the list already. I can speak to the fact, again, from the boards I sit on, most companies have sets of protocols that you need to fill out, paperwork, W-9s, et cetera. If you have that already done and in place, and you've been a vetted contractor, even if you're not doing service with that company, that puts you ahead of anybody else who shows up to bid on a project, basically, or be a part of a project. So I encourage all the contractors, if you want to do business with, you know, any of our midstream constituents or any of the companies really up and down the Houston Ship Channel at large, I think it's important that you make yourself known. You've already put some paperwork in and make sure you have been vetted by those companies. And I think that enhances the positions that you're wanting to have.
Appreciate that insight, Vincent. And thank you. So guys, we appreciate everybody being a part of us. Vincent, we're just grateful for your time and always enjoy getting in touch with you. We'll check in again some other time. And of course, you'll be the keynote at the webinar upcoming June 4th and look forward to hearing about that. So look guys, due to continued efforts of social distancing, the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region and BIC Alliance have opted to hold our annual industrial procurement forum as a webinar rather than an in-person event. So it's June 4th, 9 a.m. to about 10:30. We've got a great lineup of other panelists covering existing EPC projects and a procurement forecast. We've got Brandon Mobile of Performance Contractors, Adil Malik of McCarthy, Diego Carly of Clough, Yvette Campbell-Smith of the Port of Houston, and Jeff Allen of Burns and McDonald. So you can register for the webinar at bicwebinars.com. Until next time, everyone, stay safe and stay prosperous.
Thank you for downloading this episode of BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable. Be sure to follow us on social media for program updates and log on to BICMagazine.com for the latest in industry news and connections. BIC Magazine, the leader in connecting the energy industry. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by BIC Recruiting, the leader in energy market recruiting.
Each journey begins with a first step. Take that step with BIC Recruiting and begin your journey with a new career. With over 18 years' experience in providing employment solutions in the energy industry, we work with top-tier companies for their hiring needs. Top jobs with top companies. Visit our website, bicrecruiting.com, to see our latest job offerings.